Today we'll be learning the shot strategy for Kauai Lagoon's Mokihana course.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Golf Smarter. Today we're taking off for the Hawaiian Islands and the beautiful Isle of Kauai to get the playing strategy for the Mokihana course at Kauai Lagoons. Our instructor is Todd Stewart, head golf professional at the Kauai Lagoons Golf Facility, which is home to two 18-hole courses. We'll discuss the other course on our next show, but today it's Mokihana. Todd, welcome.
Thanks, Fred. I feel welcomed already.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Listen, why don't you give us a quick overview of the course?
Well, the Mokihana Golf Course is deemed our easier golf course due to we don't have any forced carries on it like we have on our feature golf course, the Kiali. So the higher handicappers really enjoy it. It's still a Nicklaus design, so it's giving you nice wide open fairways. It's playing more of a link-style golf course instead of a target golf. And with the trade winds, it gives you a more of a link style with the British Open wind feel. So our trade winds are definitely a good factor of the golf course, and you play with the wind and into the wind. It's all around you on the Mokihana golf courses.
You really can't avoid it, can you?
You can't avoid it. There's a lot of trees on the golf course, but nothing like we have on Kiali, which helps you kind of get protected by the wind. Mokihana is definitely an exposed golf course.
And what is the length of the course?
6,960 yards from the very backs. From the forward tees, the red tee boxes, it's 5,607.
And how many tee boxes do you have?
We have four tee boxes. Obviously, the golds, the blues, the whites, and the forward tee box, the reds.
Okay. And is it a walking course, or do you mostly use golf carts?
It is. There's only two walking golf courses on the island of Kauai, and Mokihana is one of them. We'd like to encourage walkers, but everyone here tend to be on vacation, so they end up riding a lot. But we definitely give an accessibility to the walkers throughout the midweek, and then on the weekends we restrict it just to the afternoon for the walking. But yeah, it's a nice level golf course. There's no big ravines and hills to go up and down, so it becomes a very enjoyable walk. I grew up walking a lot of golf courses, which hopefully everyone should do. And this is a really nice walking golf course.
Oh, that's great. How well is the course marked? I mean, it seems to be that the thing that slows down golf more than anything is people looking for yardage markers.
That is correct. That's a good point. We always try and keep all our markers, our 100, our 150, and our 200-yard plates, which are on either side of the fairways, well painted and well marked. So that's always good. We've put in just last year a 150 stake right in the middle of the fairway, which can be seen from the cart path on those days where there's only cart path only because of rain. The 150 marker in the center of the fairway not only adds to the yardage and accessibility of it, but it becomes a very good target off the tee.
Tell me about your practice facilities.
Our practice facility is a great facility. We've got ample supply of tee boxes, so we always tend to have every day a good strip of turf for all our customers to hit their long shots and warm up with. We have a great chipping green and a very, very large putting green. And actually, there are two putting greens. So there's never crowdedness on our range, and it tends to be very quiet in the afternoon. So anyone coming to Kauai that really want to work on their game and not really sit down and sit around the pool and relax, the afternoons at our driving ranges are wide open. So you get the solitude and the quietness that a practice range deserves.
I know that from myself, if I don't have a lot of time to practice before I tee off, I'll go right to the putting green because that's the thing that's going to make a big difference in my round. Tell me, are your practice putting greens a good indicator of what the rest of the greens are like on the course?
I'm going to say yes to that, and hopefully our mower got there before the players do. Hopefully they'll mow that that green first, so that will definitely give you a good indication. We have Bermuda grass here. I'm not going to get too technical on what type of Bermuda grass, but because of Bermuda grass, we don't have the lightning quick greens you see in California or anywhere basically on the mainland. We keep it at around a stimp meter of about 9, and that gives you, I hear this a lot, I always leave it short on the golf course. Well, you're on Bermuda, you got to adapt. You just got to speed up your tempo or aim about 2 feet past the hole. So yes, to answer your question, it's a great indication. Our putting green is always immaculate and always a good visual green to look at.
Great, thanks, because that's really valuable information before you get out there to know
that.
Oh,
for sure, for sure. Just make sure you ask the starter, which he's sitting right beside it, has the mower cut the green yet? And that's always a great first question. We'd actually be impressed if you did ask it.
Well,
but we always try and keep it very equal. The putting green itself is, there's not too much undulation to it. It's pretty much a level to back to front kind of feel in the tiltness. That reflects our Kieli golf course. The Mokihana golf course, which we're probably about to go into, the trick to the whole golf course is the greens. We've put a lot of undulations into it. The Nicholas design team did Mokihana, which put a lot of undulations into the greens itself on Mokihana, which tend to be the most difficult part of the golf course.
Well, we're going to do the Kieli golf course at another show, but let's go ahead and go out to Mokihana, and let's start on hole number one. Now, my first question is usually, what's my target, instead of have you mowed the greens? But yeah. Now I'm going to learn something new. I'll ask the
your
starter.
Target off the first hole is there's a bunker on the left-hand side at about 250 yards off the tee. Now, playing into a 20-mile-an-hour trade wind, the first hole ends up being our number one handicap hole on the golf course. So a large hitting players might be able to clear that bunker, but there's not too much reward if you do. So just stay just about 10 yards right of that bunker, and it ends up being about 10 yards left of our 150 stake that's in the middle. So aim between the bunker and the 150 stake, and because the hole bends a little to the left, it's usually the straightest hole, straightest line to the hole. So that'll set you up for your second shot.
Okay, so it's a par four.
It's a par four, 414 yards, playing dead into a 20-mile-an-hour trade wind, so the hole plays about 450 to 460. So you will be left with a very long iron or a fairway wood into the first hole. So that is why it's deemed the number one handicap hole. I always say to the player, if you can play the hole to tap in a bogey, you've done a good thing. What we want to do is avoid a large number on this first hole. And because we're at the first hole and we're not quite warmed up and we're not into a rhythm yet, a big number can happen quite quickly on the first hole. So if you want to get away with just a bogey, you might even par it.
And that's going to affect your whole round. If you don't have a good hole to start, you can really have a bad attitude going for the rest.
If you birdie the first hole, you might end up with a large number. So just expect a bogey, put a smile on your face, and go to the second hole.
Which happens to be longer, and the number...
number five handicap. So it's starting you off, bang, bang, quite tough. And again, it's number five, because the second hole, with the target being... there's an airport right behind the hole, so you're going to have very large jets coming in, and it's quite the visual aspect when you see it. But there's a telephone pole that's a great target to hit to. Again, it's right at the 150 stake, which will be right in the middle of the fairway, and again, into a trade wind, which not is directly in your face. It actually pushes you a little left, and you want to avoid the left-hand rough. It's probably the longest rough on the golf course, so keep your ball right. That's all set up to a green that opens up to a right-hand fairway shot.
And tell me about the green on number two.
Number two green is a very undulating green that slopes on the left hand of the green, which is hidden behind the two large deep bunkers. The green slopes from front to back, which does not accept a bad shot, very well. It'll usually release to the back. Leaving your second shot short in those bunkers is not a good idea, knowing that green slopes away from you from the bunker. So a good shot into set number two is actually long, so you're chipping back up the hill to the pin. Again, because it's the number five handicap hole and it's just the start of your round, a bogey on number two is not a bad idea. You might even get a par out of it.
Is it a big green?
It's a pretty big green, yes, with a large tier right in the middle of it, and I call it the toilet bowl on the front right. That will, it's a, like a false front. It'll bring your ball back off the green if you land short right. A pin that's exposed on the right-hand part of the green is accessible, and you should, it's a green light pin. You're more than welcome to go at it. But if the pin is in the back left or middle, again, it's not a green light pin. Please go long and come back to the hole.
Is it fairly representative of the size of the greens on that course?
Yeah, number two is a good large, and it's a good representative, not just the size of the undulations that you're going to run into. So they give the putting the marquee of the golf course. If you're putting good and you're two putting and getting out of there and occasionally dropping that one putt, you'll have a great round. But number two, you definitely want to stay out of the front left bunkers, and going long is not a bad idea, which usually isn't the case on a lot of greens. But because the green slopes from front to back, it's a better spot to be than being in the front.
Great. Well, we're going to move up to hole number five now, because that's the number three handicap hole.
Yes. A very tricky golf hole. In my eyes, it's probably the hardest second shot on the entire facility, not just on Mokihana, but probably the toughest shot on our golf courses here. I'll tell you why once we position ourselves off the tee. The green is protected on the right by a very large bunker. We have water behind and on the left. So anything left of the green, not good. You're obviously in the hazard, and the green slopes away into the hazard. So if you just miss the green, the ball will roll down into the hazard. The green slopes from right to left. The wind is blowing the exact opposite direction. It's blowing the opposite way. So it's tough to position your ball on that green, because you only can see the front left of it, and you can't see the entire back of the green. It's a very large green. So when you finally position yourself off the tee, which is, again, into a trade wind, and you want to stay to the left of the 150 marker now, so it gives you a better look at the green, which slants from that angle that opens up from the left side of the fairway. So basically hit to that center of the green, and if you can make a putt, awesome birdie. It's not the longest hole in the game. It's only 407 yards off the tee, but again, the trade will make it play about 430 or 440. So hitting a good tee shot sets up the green better. Get to the left side of the fairway. It's an easier shot into the green. Anything right center of the fairway, you will not see the pin or the green. So a better tee shot to the left, it gives you a green light to go at the pin. The green itself, the bailout, this is why it's the toughest shot in the game, I think, on the courses, because there's no bailout. If you bail out to the right and get into the bunker, the green slopes away from you into the water on your third shot. If you try and bail out to the left, there's a bunker there along with all the water. So the bailout on this second shot is actually short of the green. So, and that is also a difficult shot. So you have to commit to your second shot to the center of the green, and there's no bailout here. You just got to do it.
Todd, you're scaring me.
I know. It always scares me. That's why I can't wait to see the sixth tee box.
Well, we're going to skip over the rest of the front nine here, because I need my sandwich. I'm ready to hit the turn here. So why don't we take a short break? We'll come back. We'll talk about the back nine.
Sounds good.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@teetour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, @teetour.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
Okay, we're back. But before we go to the back nine here, is there any chance of getting a birdie on that front nine?
Yeah. After you make your pars or bogeys on number one and two, we have the third hole, which is a short par three. If you can get a nice little 140-yard shot in there, you might make a birdie there. But the next hole, number four, is a downwind par five, which is only 501 yards long. So downwind, you have either a short or mid-iron in for your second shot. It's a large green, just hit it like you're hitting a par four green, and you end up possibly making eagle, and a birdie's very, very accessible.
Okay,
so
well,
that's
I'm
where
feeling
we're going to get back on track.
Okay, good.
On the fourth hole.
Now, the purpose of Golf Smarter is to provide course management skills, and you're obviously giving us a lot of those today. But beyond knowing where to hit, there are various shot selections that will also improve a player's round. Which type of these shots should a player practice before they come out and play at Kauai Lagoons?
Well, I would try and practice a lower trajectory shot because when you're playing Mokihana, it's half into the wind, half downwind. So, and there's a little bit of quarterly wind or side wind shots, but those are pretty basic shots. But when you're hitting into the wind, especially if you haven't played for a while, you tend to grip the club tighter and try and punch it under or through the wind. That's not the best way to hit a low trajectory shot. Keeping your grip loose and going with more club is a better way to make the ball pierce through the wind quite easily. Take the spin off of it. That's the shot I'd be trying to practice on the driving range, which ends up on the driving range, we have our trade wind going right into our face again. So the practice facility is set up for that low trajectory shot practicing. So that's the shot I would try and get into my bag before I go out and play any of the courses on Hawaii, not less Mokihana or Keali. It doesn't matter. You're always dealing with trade winds here, and the ones that are into the wind tend to make the average player or a player that has played on the mainland quite a bit and doesn't get the winds. That's the shot that is really going to kill their round.
What you're talking about here with the winds is that when you're out on the practice facility, mm-hmm. really pay attention to the length because you're not going to hit what you're used to hitting.
Without a doubt. You'll always be going. I got a general rule. Every 10 mile an hour of wind, it's usually one full club. And so when you're dealing with a 20 to 25 mile an hour trade wind, you're definitely going 2 to 3 clubs more. And you've got to get over the psychological thing that when you're standing at 100 yards, normally you'd be hitting your sand wedge or your pitching wedge. You've got to get over the fact that you've got a 7-iron in your hand or an 8-iron, and it's just going to get there. You shouldn't be fear of hitting it over the green. So definitely look at the yardages on how you're hitting your irons or your woods, because the wind will do its damage. I always try and say, let the wind help you. Let Mother Nature help you. So when you're downwind, that's the easy part. When you're into the wind, the ball's going to stop a little better on the green for you. So it's not going to release through the green. So it's going to help you do things like that. Let Mother Nature help you around the golf course. Don't try and fight her.
Okay. So let's go back to the golf course then and look at hole number 10, because it's the second handicap hole on the course, obviously the toughest one on the back nine. It's a par 4.
Right, and it plays only 386 yards, and it slightly doglegs to the left, and then actually the green kicks back to the right, so it plays a little bit of an S. But it's into the wind, and that's why it's deemed number 2. It's right into the teeth of the wind. The bunkers are all in play because of the wind. Every bunker there is in play because the last bunker on the right is only 255 yards off the tee. Now, everyone think they might be able to clear 255 yards with a good drive, but it really plays 285 yards to clear it with the wind. So you're trying to position dead center fairway. Again, look for the 150 stake. It'll be perfect position where you need to hit your shot. A good drive will get you to the 150-yard marker. And then from that point, again, long is good on this golf hole because of a large bunker that protects the front right of this green. Any pin that's middle to right is well protected by this bunker. You do not want to be in this bunker to try and get up and down from. So hitting from the 150 marker, guys that usually know their 150 club, definitely go 3 clubs more because the green is also elevated, which adds yards to the shot. So by the time you get to the green, if you're on that green, it should be a relatively easy 2-putt because there's not too much undulation, and that's we can get away with a par, which sets us up for a good start on our back nine.
that would be a great way to finish up your day, to start off with a par and then move forward. And let's go ahead and move forward to number 16, which is the number 4 handicap hole. And
right.
That's
and
a long
one. One of the most unreachable par 5s on our facility, Mokihana and Kealli. There's two great big par 5s that are tough to reach in any of our trade winds. But 16, playing 445 yards, doesn't sound like a long par 5, but when you got a 30-mile-an-hour trade wind, it's playing almost 600 yards.
Mm.
So it gives you a very generous landing area for 16. The bunker on the right is not in play. There's two actually large bunkers on the right. Don't even worry about them. They're not in play because of the wind. When there's no wind, definitely they're in play. So just large landing areas, so it's basically grip it and rip it off the tee shot and get yourself as far down that fairway as you can, because it all comes down to your second shot. Yes, we're going to call it a layup shot, but still, you've got a 20, 30-mile-an-hour trade wind that you've got to get it up there within 100 yards or 120 yards to make the money shot with your wedge. So the aiming off the tee, just go right down the middle of the fairway. Second shot, keep it to the right-hand side of the fairway. There's a lot of large pot bunkers down the left side, reaching about 86 yards to 90 yards from the green. Very difficult bunker shots to hit. So keep away from the bunkers on the left-hand side for your second shot. Now you've got a great angle into a very wide green with two or three different tiers to it. There can be a multitude of pin placements here. If a superintendent or the guy cutting the hole had a bad night, he will make you pay for it on this green. Many different tiers and levels. But sitting yourself on the right side of the fairway at about 100 or 120 yards out, you can get at any pin you want. There's a lot of bunkers in front, so grab a couple extra clubs. Again, the third shot is the key. And again, you're playing into a 20-mile-an-hour trade wind. Your ball will bite on that green, no problem.
And your finishing hole, number 18.
Oh, here is one of the funnest holes in our golf courses. One, because the winds are pushing your ball from right to left. So it's going to make your ball fade, and that's exactly how the tee shot is set up for. There is a large bunker that well-hit shots can clear, and it definitely cuts off a lot of yardage. So if you're feeling good, and you should be feeling good with your swing by the 18th tee shot, risk-reward is good here. If you can clear the bunker, the hole sets up for a birdie or a par. If you can't clear the bunker, you're going to be left with a longer shot in, but a very safe position in the fairway. The green itself is everything. As we all know and all seen in on our rounds of golf, a lot of the scores and the bets come down to the 18th green. This green has got multi-tiers, 4 to 5 different tiers and pin settings. So if you think you're safe by getting your second shot on the green, you're incorrect. A lot of three putts on this green are possible, and very much a lot of bets have been won or lost because of the putting on 18. So put a smile on, hit it hard off the tee, get it to one of the tiers on the green, and you've got a good chance for birdie. If you're not on the correct tier, put your head down and grind for that two-putt, and you'll get out of there with a par. But watch out. You miss hit a putt or miss hit your second shot, you will end up with a bogey or worse on this green. The green is diabolical, we've heard, and I have to agree. It is a very undulating and multi-tiered green.
Wow. Hey, Todd, what's the best way to make a tee time? Can you do it online, or should you call up?
Call us up directly. That tends to be how we get most of our tee times. Call us, 808-241-6000 is our direct line right to our pro shop. 1-800-634-6400, that's our toll-free number. So anywhere in the world, give us a call.
Obviously, someone's going to Hawaii. They're going to be planning their vacation in advance. How far in advance can they make a tee time?
They can make an advance at 30 days advance booking, and no later. If you've got a large group of players, up to 24 and above, we'll book that tee time much farther in advance. For any other tee times, we have a 30 days advance booking policy. It's rarely that we can't accommodate everyone's needs and time frames.
That's the Mokihana course of Kauai Lagoons. Now, there's two courses there, and we'll talk about Kiali on our next show with Todd Stewart, who is the head golf professional for Kauai Lagoons. Todd, thanks so much for the tips.
Oh, thanks, Fred. I appreciate the time, and I hope to see you soon.
Oh, yeah. We love your feedback. Please let us know how we're doing. Email us at golfsmarter@ttour.com. If you have any suggestions, you have any courses you want to talk about, let us know and we'll do a show on it. And let your friends know about the show as well. It's called Golf Smarter. You can find us many places on the internet. Obviously, you already have. And check out T-Tour. It's a 18-hole shot-by-shot video guide of where to hit and why for resort and destination courses. That's at ttour.com. Listen, it's simple. If you know the course, you can lower your score. And that's why we're here to help you golf smarter. I'm Fred Green.